So good morning, everyone. It's Dan Scarborough here with Data Center Hawk. I'm here today, very excited about our guest. We have Olivier Micheli, who's the CEO of Data4.
Focus on cloud, colocation, data center industry trends, the dynamic market.
Olivier, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hello, good morning, Dan.
So I'm hoping that the majority of our viewers will, at the very least, have heard of Data4 and more than likely know about yourself. But for those that don't, if you could just give a brief introduction to yourself and Data4, that'd be helpful.
For sure. Very pleased to be in this interview to give you some insight around Data4 and the French market. So Data4 is an investor and operator in the data center world that has been created now roughly 15 years ago and has been created in 2006. And basically our work and our mission is to design, build, and operate data centers in Europe. And as we speak, we have 20 data centers that have been built for representing 40,000 of square meters of net technical space, 80 megawatt delivered of IT delivered to our customers. We are present in four markets: France, Italy, Spain, and Luxembourg. And we're facing a very strong growth. And as we speak, we have six data centers in construction available in all our markets. And regarding myself, I'm working since 22 years, 15 years, basically in the telco industry. And I'm working for Data4 since now about 6 years. Since 2014, and it has been a very exciting mission, and the journey since 2014 is obviously very, very good, very strong.
That's great. So as one of the key players in the Paris market, which, and I know for our audience is kind of one of the key markets that we're watching, can you talk about the Paris and the French market and some of the key drivers that you're seeing for capacity in France?
Yeah, for sure. So in general, France is quite a centralized country, you know, so Paris being the capital, where basically all the main decisions, the government bodies are present, and as well where most of the large corporates as well are present. If you take Paris as a city, it's one of the cities in the world where you have the largest HQ of the largest companies. So Paris, as a greater Paris, let's say, as a region, is extremely dynamic and attractive. And in terms of data center, it has a direct impact actually on the data center business. Roughly 75 to 80% of the data center business is made in the greater Paris, and the rest obviously across the rest of France. And in the major other cities being Marseille, as you know, for good reasons, for connectivity reasons, but as well Lyon, Bordeaux, a little bit of Toulouse. And as we speak, we see more and more small, medium-sized national data center players that are trying to get a position in the main cities I just mentioned. So in Paris, you have roughly 150 data centers, from small capacity to very large capacity. And what is the main drivers as we speak, one of the main drivers is related to the hyperscalers, as you know. That's for two reasons. The first one is there is a catch up, okay? Before Paris, London, Frankfurt, and Amsterdam were extremely dynamic, and those hyperscalers, cloud operators, have installed a large portion of capacity, and they were a little bit late in Paris. So we have these catch-up since, let's say, 3 to 4 years. And the other aspects why as well the hyperscalers are growing fast, there is a strong cloud adoption in France in general by the businesses. And OVH, which is not a US cloud or let's say an Asian cloud operator, OVH is in France, and that's the European biggest cloud operator. And it's as well because the French companies are very eager to outsource a lot of their IT resources to cloud platforms. So the hyperscalers are growing extremely fast due to these two reasons I just mentioned, where actually we see that the system integrators that were extremely dynamic in the past decade are less dynamic as we speak. It's because as well in the past, they take a lot of spaces. They take ample amount of spaces that now they're trying to fill in. So that's the reason why from a system integrator perspective, it's a little bit less dynamic. But once they would have filled in all this big space they had taken in the past decade, they will again, you know, grow again and take some space to manage the IT transformation from their customers. And last but not least, the corporates, they are outsourcing. I mean, we are in Italy, we're in Spain, and we see the big difference within the businesses. And especially in France, they are really eager to outsource a lot in the private cloud and in, of course, the public cloud.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's good to hear that the enterprise are forming part of your capacity and also from a private cloud perspective. Yeah. And I've definitely seen in my kind of conversations significant demand in Paris coming from the large cloud providers. I suppose the question that I've also seen, or the thought process, that market commentary that you see, is that Paris is dropping behind some of the other flat markets in terms of size. And, you know, I've always been a big believer in France as a gateway into Europe, given the type of power you've got, the ease of doing business there. What's your take on kind of Paris and the rest of the flat markets? Do you feel like there's any reality in those claims that Paris is dropping behind a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that if you look at the take up in the last years, Paris has always been behind the level of take-up that you can see in Amsterdam or in Frankfurt or in London. London, let's say, has always been at a very high level and it's quite constant. Then Amsterdam has been for few years very strong and is going down a little bit, certainly due as well to the fact that the municipality of Amsterdam has decided, you know, to constrain a little bit the development of the data centers. And Frankfurt is the new Amsterdam as we speak, with more than 50 meg. It's just amazing the number of development you have in Frankfurt and in Germany. And it's as well related to the fact that they have a very strong connectivity node, Frankfurt, but as well the fact that Germany as a country is very robust. And so for the investors and the companies, you know, it's important for them to put IT resources and development in such stable, I would say, and growing markets.
Yeah.
Paris is you're right. So if you look, the take up is behind, but to be honest, it's accelerating for the two reasons I mentioned. And we see a really a strong catch up now with a level of take-up that are much higher compared to the past. Mm-hmm. And it's because, as I said, companies now, the cloud penetration adoption is strong, but the cloud penetration is not so massive. So there is really a boulevard for those hyperscalers to take a big, big portion of the IT from those corporates that are now willing to put all their resources in private and public cloud. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's behind, but it's catching fast.
I suppose one of the other things that I've seen, and I don't know what your take of this would be, is that there seems to be limited power and land availability in Paris partly due to the Olympics, and apparently lots of the power infrastructure is being invested in the Summer Olympics. And that seems to be creating a barrier to entry for new providers to come into the French market. Have you seen that? Or,
well, you're right. I mean, it's not going to help for sure.
Yeah.
I think the Olympics in 2024 won't help and put another constraint. But is it so different in, for example, in Frankfurt? As a player, you know, we're looking actively to develop our brand in Germany and in Frankfurt. Obviously, we are looking at scalable, projects. But it's as well very difficult if you want to find land in Frankfurt or even in Berlin. It's not a flap, but even Berlin. If you try to find land in London, it's not very easy. The power in Amsterdam is quite challenging. So I would say perhaps Paris is a bit less difficult, I would say, in terms of finding land. There are projects, there are land available. It's expensive, for sure. I mean, the greater Paris, the land is expensive, but for good reasons. And the power, it's, I don't know how it works within the grid with the other two, three flat markets. But in Paris, the owner of the grid, which is called RTE, basically when they receive a request, a high-level study, they have basically to, they make sure that the power is available on their grid. And basically, they have to basically take the power that you request aside. And the problem is they have a lot of requests coming in Paris. And as soon as you have a request, basically a high-level study, the amount of power you request, they will basically isolate it. And so if you, and the problem, because I'm as well the president, you know, of France Data Center, and that's a discussion, an ongoing discussion we have with the owner of the grid, RT. The issues they have is, imagine they have 3, 4, 5 big requests at the same time in around Greater Paris. Perhaps they will have to put 500 megawatts, if you want, aside, just to be sure that if these five projects are active, then they will have to deliver the power. But most of the time, those projects are not live. It's just a high-level study, and it goes nowhere. And that's the problem. It limits the power for the people that have real, tangible, solid project they want to develop. But except these factors, so we're working, obviously, with RTE to make sure that they are not always taking the power aside, as I explained. But except that, you find some land and you find some power in the Greater Paris. It's possible.
Yeah, it's a bit misleading, I suppose, when you have these organizations that are, you know, creating a bit of a traffic jam in the grid. So
exactly. You understand perfectly.
And I think that's certainly true of certain other locations. I suppose the next thing I wanted to cover with you, if it's okay, is maybe to look at more some of the tier two European markets. And I know you guys are one of the operators that are active in tier European markets already, like Milan and Madrid. I mean, how are you seeing the demand in the tier in those locations compared to Paris? Are you seeing it as much, or is it, you know, where's the demand coming from? And what are you seeing as the key drivers for capacity in the flapped, in the non-flapped markets?
Okay, so to answer straight to your question, the level of take-up in those two markets is lower compared to Paris.
Right.
Okay. If we take this year, we will have a very strong take-up in 2020, despite the crisis we are facing. I would say a big 50% is coming from Paris and the rest from Milan and from, and when I say 50, it's even 60% from Paris and 20% from Milan, 20% from Madrid.
Right.
So the level of take-up is below. After that, where it's coming from, let's not forget, we say tier two market, but let's look at what is behind this tier two market. Italy, it's if you take European Union and sorry for that, but if you take the UK out, which is almost out, and this is not my decision, of course.
No, you're right. Okay. I've had to live with that for a while now, so.
Yeah.
Offense taken.
So it's not our decision, let's say. But anyway, so if UK is not part of European Union, you know, Italy is the third economy with more than 60 million citizens. It's the second economy in terms of industry. So it's a very large market. You have a lot of corporates, big corporates. What we see is as well, they move quite rapidly on the cloud. So their cloud adoption is bigger and bigger, but still they have the difference between, for example, Germany, France, the UK, and the Nordic country is they tend to outsource less compared to those markets. So the outsourcing of their IT is smoother, again, compared to the central or northern markets. Spain is as well a large economy. It's the fourth economy in Europe. Again, if you take UK outside of European Union. And they have the difference with Italy, the connectivity is, and especially in Madrid, is quite important. Because actually, on one side, you have all the submarine cables that are arriving, landing in Portugal. Basically, it's just a transmission, but after that, they land, if you want, in terms of compute, in Madrid. So, and Madrid as well, and Spain in general, is a focal point, a central point with LATAM, and as well with Africa. So the connectivity aspect in Spain and especially in Madrid is quite important. And that's the reason why as well, you have a lot of development in this city.
It's interesting. It's interesting. So from a kind of a data for strategy perspective, have you got plans to kind of go to other tier two markets or other, you know, non-flapped markets and the flap markets as well? Are you kind of intending to go to both of those form part of your future kind of plans?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are a European player. Our playground is Europe. You mentioned that at the beginning, Dan. We are one of the last one being purely European. In the last years, we had a lot of acquisitions from the US players, but as well the Asian bodies. And our wish with our shareholder and with AXA being the majority shareholder, we have the ambition to continue to consolidate and span in Europe. Now, when you look Europe, because Europe is quite big, you have several markets. As we speak, we are in one of the four main markets. We have the ambition to continue to at least expand in another flap market. So we are in Paris and we are looking actively in Frankfurt. And why Frankfurt? It's because when you look actually, it's the largest economy, which is very stable. And there is a big growth in this market, and the connectivity hub is massive. And actually, why not London and Amsterdam? It's because, well, London, for the reasons we know, related to the Brexit, which creates some uncertainty within the country and related to this market. And Amsterdam, the market itself represents 25%, if you want, of Germany, or 25% of the UK, 25% of France. So it's relatively small. And as well, what the decision from the municipality to reduce the number of development of data center assets within the city is a signal that perhaps it won't be as easy as before to develop data center within the city. So regarding the flaps, I would say our focus is more developing data for in Germany and in Frankfurt. And now regarding the tier two markets, basically there are different aspects we are looking at when we want to go into a new city. It's one, the size of the market, the competitive intensity, and as well if the hyperscalers are present or are willing to come within the market. So to make it simple, if the market is extremely small with a high competitive intensity and the hyperscalers are already there, then there is no reason for us really to come. Because it will be extremely difficult to compete because you will have multiple players working already with hyperscalers and this market is small. So if you want as well to develop business with corporates, it will be difficult because the size is limited. So just to finish on that, so when you look Europe and you divide Europe with these criteria I just mentioned, there are some opportunities in Central Europe. There are still some opportunities in Northern Europe, but actually not so much. So that's why it's more and more difficult, I would say, to develop. It's more and more, if you want, you have more and more players backed up by large investors that are developing in these different markets. And so there are less and less opportunities, I would say, with minimum risk to develop in Europe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we're seeing a significant influx of you know, predominantly US, but there are new funds that are funding kind of management teams from a European perspective, and the competition certainly seems to be heating up. And I think, you know, making sure that you've locked down the customer, making sure that you, you know, go to a place where you can flourish, there seems to be the key objective. Most of the people that I've been talking to do believe that there is certainly enough demand to go around for these operators, mm-hmm. given the increasing capacity requirements of the hyperscalers, etc. Would you say that's the case? Do you see that there's any problem from a demand side moving forward over the next couple of years?
You mean in Europe in general? In general, or?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, the forecast growth in terms of capacity requirements for the hyperscalers is, you know, as far as I understand it from conversations that I've been party to, is significant over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more than double digits, way in advance of double digits growth. So I'm assuming from a capacity perspective, you're comfortable that, you know, as long as you get the market right and the competition is okay, that there's enough demand to build a significant presence in these other tier two locations and tier one locations.
No, for sure. I mean, as you stated, all these tech giants, it's not only the cloud operators, but these tech giants and as well the current situation, the crisis we're facing, you know, we are all pretty much locked down. It's pushing us to use more and more technology tools, video, collaborative tools, and so on and so on. So we need more and more IT. We need to be more agile. We need more IT. And so therefore, for sure, there is a boulevard for those tech giants to push and develop their solutions to businesses, to citizens in general. Yeah. So it's not going to be reduced, for sure. There is capacity, and we will need more and more capacity basically to absorb those new way of working and collaborating. But from a data for perspective, you know, we don't want to go in a market just for going into a market. When we go in a market in general, we want to be part of the top three players. Okay. There is no reasons for us to come in a market and stay the number 10, number 12 or whatever, you know, it's, and this is important. The mass count, let's say, or, and so for us, when we go, like we did in Madrid, we did big investment. And as we speak, we continue to look at very large development projects, you know, to stay or to become and stay the leader or one of the leader in Madrid. If we do a new market, being in Central Europe, being in Northern Europe, then we will invest massively. That's part of our DNA as a developer. To have scalable resources from a land and power perspective to fit with these big tech giants requirements, to always have some land and power to support their growth. And obviously that's our ambition, to when we go into a market, it's to be a top leader. Otherwise, there is no reason for us to go.
And just to finish on that kind of geographical side of things, so do you have any plans to expand into non-European locations, like, you know, US, APAC, LATAM, Africa, or is that an option for you guys, or is that at the moment it's not on the cards?
I would say it's not for the moment on our plans. For we believe that before going abroad and farther, you need to be extra very strong in your own territory. So before we went in Europe, okay, we wait to have a critical mass, let's say in France, and become one of the top three players. It helped us basically, you know, we grow by circle, concentric circle. So we started in Paris and in France. When we come to a certain critical mass, then we have decided to go abroad, Italy, Spain, Luxembourg. And it was the right strategy because now in those markets, we are dominant. We have a very strong position. We're going to continue that in Europe, okay? And once we will be a real true pan-European player, you know, with a strong basis in Europe, then yes, we will certainly look at going abroad. But it's not, I would say it's not until the next 5 years, 2024, 2025. Okay. To get this position.
Just one last question for you on the geographical side. Luxembourg, that's a market that seems to be relatively understated in terms of kind of by the other operators. Is that quite a unique, USP for you from a location perspective?
So we did an acquisition in 2013 in Luxembourg, a very interesting acquisition. More, it was from a company that was a colo players as well, delivering some security services and so on. It has been a good acquisition. After that, what we see in Luxembourg, there is less. We see that there is less momentum in Luxembourg compared to the previous years. A lot of technical companies were landing in Luxembourg for different reasons when they come into Europe. Now this is less the case, let's be very honest. They prefer to go into the flap markets or other markets. So you have less projects. We used to do a lot of deals actually with US players landing in Luxembourg. As I said, it's not anymore the case, but really less than compared to the past. So we developed Luxembourg. We have some very strong customers that as well we are expanding in other markets we have, but it's not as big as before, Dan. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So I've just got two other things I wanted to cover with you, if that's okay. Yeah. One was on COVID. Clearly, the last 8 months has been unprecedented, but what sort of impact have you seen that have from three things? A demand, I'm sure it's increased, but from an operational and development timeline perspective, how are you coping with the new kind of regime? Is it making things harder, or is there any comments on that you could share with us?
For sure. From a business perspective, you're right. We will certainly do one of or the best year ever in the company history. It's very good on that perspective. From an operational perspective, operational and construction. So two things: operations, definitely. It has the COVID crisis, 19 crisis, has impacted the way we are organized. Because obviously we have much more constraints from a security perspective as well. We need to make sure that the people coming on site on our campus are secured. So we had more cost, of course, to cover, basically to make sure that those campus were 100% secured. After that, what we have defined with our suppliers, it's basically an organization based on three teams, two teams that are rotating all the time, and one team that is aside to be ready to intervene if one team is infected. Right. So, okay, it's a three teams approach. Two are rotate, as I explained, and the other one is ready in backup in case of. And it works. Hopefully the teams were not infected. It works really well. And the other aspects is we have decided straight from the beginning of the crisis to not close our campus. I know that some operators, and I'm not judging them, of course, but I know that some operators have been more radical in their decision. Some deciding to almost close their data center or campus. We have decided to not do that because we didn't want to add a crisis to the crisis for our customers. You know, it was already difficult for them to be reorganized, to manage as well the impact of the crisis on their core business. Then obviously we decided to keep all the data center, all the campuses open with new rules, obviously, as I stated, to manage the risk related to the virus. But again, we have decided that. So yes, I mean, from an organizational ops perspective, it has an impact. The guys were, you know, we are, as we speak now, almost in November, but back to March or April, we didn't know what's going on. What was this virus? You know, it was completely new. And our guys, a lot of guys were going on site on a daily basis, and they have been extremely, we call them our heroes, you know, within the companies, because, you know, all the back office and several functions were working from home, but those guys were working on site, working every day, morning up to the evening.
Yeah, no, so, I get it. Keeping us on these Zoom calls, Olivia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we're very proud because in Data4, but as well in most of the, as well, DC, the other DC companies, you know, we didn't face a big outage, so which is obviously very good. From a construction perspective, Dan, then this is different. A lockdown is a lockdown. So in the first wave of COVID, basically, most of the construction has been stopped. And so we faced some delays, obviously, because they have been stopped. And when we start again the construction, you know, it's quite difficult to recover 100% and have 100% productivity. It's not as easy. So basically, just after the COVID, when we start again the construction, we were roughly at 80% of productivity. And even now with the new rules we have in place, you know, it's difficult to be above the 90%.
Yeah.
So construction, the COVID has a big impact. And it will be almost impossible to, you know, speed up the construction and or accelerate them and try to fill in the gap related to the crisis.
Cool. So my last question for you, Olivier, is around kind of sustainability, if you like. And, you know, we've seen lots of legislation happening from a European perspective. I know the German ministry has recently released their latest study on sustainability of data centers, and they're proposing an energy pass and kind of mandatory carbon footprints for operators. And there's a thought process that will become pan-European because they lead the government from a European perspective. What's Data4's approach to kind of the sustainability issue?
It's a real topic. I mean, and it's not a topic from today because we don't have any other choice. It's actually one of the three pillars of the company. Actually, the three pillars of the company, it's quality, scalability, and sustainability. Quality, because if you're not able to basically provide quality services, let's forget the rest, especially in our industry. And scalability, it's again part of our DNA. We develop campus and not just tiny assets. And sustainability, because it's our responsibility. Okay. So what the approach we have, it's a holistic approach. It's not only in design and construction, but it's everywhere at every level of the company. It's we are approaching or developing this sustainability. We're developing a sustainability program. So obviously on our industrial processes from design, construction and operations, in the design, the teams are always trying to develop and improve the current design to reduce the consumption of energy and have the lowest PUE. And as well in the design and the construction, we are as well in the process to select I would say, either suppliers to use equipment that are use less energy, but as well that can be recycled, and whereas the life cycle of the equipment are longer. So basically, if we have the choice between two suppliers, between an equipment which has a short life cycle and can't be recycled, and another one which will be longer and can be recycled, then, and even if it's more expensive, we will select those equipment. So it's part, again, of our selection process. Okay. So from a design and construction, we have defined different KPIs to make sure that the impact on the environment is lower. And then from an operational perspective, we have developed the smart data center programs in 3 years now, which allows us basically to receive in real time several information and KPI, environmental KPIs, PUE, CUE, water usage, effectiveness, and so on, for us, but as well for our customers. So they know exactly what they consume. And so it's easier for them to understand what is the impact of the data centers they use, but as well, the IT equipment they are hosting in our data center. Because we do believe that if you just give one piece of the equation, it's not enough. And so that's why in our smart data center program we have developed, customers can fill in all the IT equipment, servers, storage, routers, and of course the data center space. And they can see, they can have a global view and understand exactly how much they consume on the criteria I just mentioned.
Awesome.
And, yeah. That's, and
yeah,
it's,
it sounds really good.
And yeah, exactly. Because if you don't know how you can react and how you can have an impact. So that's the reason why we're working with our customers. And this smart data center program has been developed with our customers, basically. And last but not least, I said we have a holistic approach, of course, at the industrial level, okay? But as well, at the whole company level, we basically, in terms of IT, we do select equipment that have as well the less impact on the, again, on the environment. We have a zero plastic policy. All the cars now are hybrid or electrical. We have as well program on the purchasing to make sure that what we use is again coherent with our sustainability policy. Our energy is 100% green energy in any data center campus across our four markets. And I have signed with as well with AXA later, where basically an engagement where we will never come back on gray energy. So basically, I hope you understand through all these things I mentioned that it's not just something we, you know, we put because it's trendy. It's because we are big believer of we need definitely in the industry to reduce our impact. And the people that are joining Data4 need to have this mindset.
Oh, I really like it, Olivier. That's exactly what I think all the operators should be doing. So I take my hat off to you for that. Well, so thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today. We look forward to seeing how Data4 progresses over the coming years. It's an exciting business to look at, and from a data center hall perspective, you know, we're keen to see you grow in Europe. It's very exciting to see.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks a lot.